We are in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we are going to finish that chapter, Lord willing, today, verses 14 to 21. And many of you know the first part of this chapter, or at least parts of it. We will kind of do a quick review, as since I told you last week, when we do this chapter, really, when you do the last part of 9, 10, and 11, they ought to all be studied at the same time, but there's no way to get all that done in one sitting, in one Sunday school class, and so we have to break it up. Romans chapter 10, we will study today verses 14 through 21. Before we do, let's have a word of prayer. And today we are praying for Pastor Rick Sowell up in Toledo, Ohio. Doyle, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen. 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 Romans chapter 10 is really a transition chapter. It takes you from the end of chapter 9 and carries you over to the full content of chapter 11. Look at the end of chapter 9 and notice what Paul concluded in that chapter. In Romans chapter 9, look at verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. That stumbling stone is Jesus Christ. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now when you get to the end of chapter 9 and he says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, then Paul takes Romans chapter 10 to deal with whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and then carries that back into what he finished up here at chapter 9 to show that Israel didn't believe. But Gentiles have believed, and then he goes into Romans chapter 11, which we'll start studying, Lord willing, next week, and he shows you Israel is in a slumber, partial blindness concerning Jesus Christ, and Gentiles are, or have been at least, wide open. And then he says to all Gentile nations, he said, but hey, it was unbelief that got Israel into the trouble they're in. It's unbelief that'll get you into that same trouble, because eventually God's going to save them. So chapter 10 is the chapter that takes us from the statement that Paul makes at the end of chapter 9 and carries us into what he's going to teach us when we get to Romans chapter 11. So I want to remind you that at the beginning of chapter 10, Paul starts out by telling Jews, listen, I'm getting ready to show you something about what God's done with the Gentiles, but I want you to understand something. In verse 1, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. In other words, in spite of the fact that my ministry is to the Gentiles, I'm not neglecting Israel. My heart's desire is that they might be saved. But you see, turn to Romans chapter 15. Israel is not Paul's, in his heart, it's his principal concern, but in his ministry, that's not his principal calling. In Romans chapter 15, look at verse 16. Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to whom? To the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Well, you know how Jews feel about that. Every time he mentions that his calling is to Gentiles, they want to get rid of him or turn away from him or worse yet, imprison him or stone him. So he discloses to them in Romans chapter 10 that in spite of his burden, God directed him to the Gentiles because Israel wouldn't believe. Let's read our passage that we're going to study today, Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When Paul starts out Romans chapter 10, he says that righteousness of which is of the law says that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which of faith says this, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you see. So he says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah, that's Isaiah, is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So what Paul does here is he says, in spite of my burden, in spite of my heart's desire that all Israel might be saved, God directed him to the Gentiles because Israel wouldn't believe. In verse 16, who hath believed our report? Verse 21, they are a disobedient and gainsaying people. But Gentiles would believe. Look at verse 20. I was found of them that sought me not. Furthermore, he says, the Lord intended, by him going to the Gentiles, the Lord intended to provoke Israel to jealousy. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation, and I will anger you. And he does. Every time that Paul goes somewhere that he's dealing with Jews, and he begins his ministry to Gentiles, the Jews get angry. And the Lord said that. We're going to go back and study all these Old Testament passages that are being quoted here. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Which we'll study beginning next week. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. You know, if you say to one child, if you will pick up your clothes, I'll let you go swimming in the pool. And the other child, you've been saying to the other child all day, pick up your clothes and it'll pick up the clothes. You say to the other one, you say, pick up your clothes and let you go swimming. And then that one starts swimming. You know what the first child will do? Pick up the clothes. It provokes them to jealousy so that, you know, why? So they can get in on the same benefit. He wants to go swimming just like the other kid. And it wasn't until you gave the other one some benefit and then finally he says, well, man, if that's what it takes to get that benefit, I will do it. Same thing with the gospel. So in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 21, the passage we're studying today, Paul makes his case that he was sent to preach the gospel and that Gentiles were getting saved through his ministry because they believed the gospel. Many Jews, on the other hand, were not getting saved. Why? Because they weren't believing the gospel. Instead, they were getting mad at Paul, and they were getting mad at the Gentiles for responding to Paul's preaching. And that's just exactly what the Lord prophesied. Now, in Romans chapter 10, Paul is quoting a lot of Old Testament scripture. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back and we're going to check the references that he's quoting. And we're going to read the context in which those references appear so that you can see when Paul takes Israel back to those passages that are in their scripture, they should understand that faith is necessary for salvation and that salvation was also going to be open to the Gentiles. You see what he's saying here? You shouldn't be surprised that Gentiles are getting saved. God meant for them to be saved. You shouldn't be surprised that you're being upset. God said you'd be upset. You shouldn't be surprised that it takes faith. God told you it's going to take faith. And so he does all that so that they should acknowledge that the gospel is definitely for both Jews and Gentiles. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 12, which we studied last week. For there is no difference between the Jews, the Jew, and the Greek. If you were an Israelite with the temperament of these Jews that Paul has to deal with, how would you feel about that statement right there? Not good at all. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. What are you trying to say? They are sinners. They are heathens. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And that's Paul's main point in chapter 10. So let's look now at, first of all, verses 14 and 15. Paul was sent to preach. Look what he says now. He says, in verse 13, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? All right, then he starts asking some questions. Well, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Don't they have to believe first before they can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Sure. All right, he says then, if that's the case, how are they going to believe in him of whom they have not heard? Well, that's a good question. You go to somebody and you say, you ever believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you looked at it and you said, I don't even know what you're talking about. Who's the Lord Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be strange? You'd say, well, I'd have to tell them about Jesus Christ. And then once they hear about Jesus Christ, they can believe. So he asks the next question. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then he says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? It all makes sense. So the preachers are sent, they preach, people hear, and those that hear and believe call on the name of the Lord. That's the process. Now, was Paul sent? All right, Acts chapter 9. His point here, the reason he's drawing all this, the point is he's telling these Jews and Gentiles to whom he's writing, guys, I didn't come up with this idea on my own. God sent me to do this. So if you want to get fussy with somebody, get fussy with God. Acts chapter 9, this is the Lord speaking to Ananias and telling him about Paul, or Saul at this time, who's been saved. Verse 15 and 16. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, watch it, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before whom? The Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Look at Acts chapter 13. So Saul gets saved. He's traveling around doing a little bit of preaching. Finally, he ends up there in Antioch in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas was one of them. And at the end of verse 1, Saul was the other one. Watch it, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and so forth and so on. How shall they preach except they be sent? And Paul had a specific calling of God to preach to the Gentiles, and he was specifically sent by the Holy Ghost and by the church in Antioch to go preach the gospel to Gentiles. Now he quotes something here in verse 15. He says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know what he's quoting? He's quoting Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. So let's go back there. Isaiah chapter 52, he's quoting verse 7. You know, I've seen some preachers' feet, and I can honestly tell you, they're not all beautiful. I think they're beautiful because they are prepared. You know, see, the gospel of the preparation of peace. You know, when you take the whole armor of God, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that would make them beautiful. But, man, there's some smelly, nasty-looking feet out there. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. That bringeth good tidings of good, watch it, that publisheth, what's the next word? Salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Let's read this context, because you're going to learn something. Paul refers to this verse because he says, the calling I have is I have been sent. I've been sent to the Gentiles in fulfillment of this verse of Scripture here. But keep reading. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. What time frame are we talking about right there in verse 8? For they shall see how? Eye to eye. When the Lord shall bring again Zion. Second coming of Jesus Christ. The watchmen are there on the wall. Things are terrible. They look up and they see him coming. A deliverer shall come out of Zion and all Israel shall be saved. And that's what they're seeing. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. They were waste because during the tribulation they get destroyed. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Second coming of Jesus Christ. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm, watch it, in the eyes of all the nations. Well, when he says in the eyes of all the nations, who does he include? Gentiles? Absolutely. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Who's included in that? Gentiles. Depart ye, go ye out from hence, touch no unclean thing. Go you out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord, for you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. That's the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Watch his crucifixion here in verse 14. As many were astonied at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. That happened to Jesus Christ at his crucifixion. Look at the next verse. So shall he sprinkle many nations, that includes Gentiles. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. How shall they hear without a preacher? And so what he say, when he puts them in that context, he says, the salvation, they shall see the salvation of our God. He publishes salvation, and when he does, it includes other nations. You see it? And so when Paul refers to that text, he says, guys, that's what I've been sent to do. That's my calling. And so it's an opening, a reference to the opening of the gospel to the Gentiles, who that which they had not heard shall they consider. And he was the messenger of God to get that done. You see it? So that's why he quotes that particular piece of scripture right there. How else, he's saying to Israel and to those that are there that are having a hard time with this, how else were they going to know about it unless we went and preached? And if all these nations were to see the salvation of God, somebody has to go tell the Gentiles. Now look at verses 16 and 17 in the passage that we're studying. But he says, they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah, that's Isaiah, saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, you know what he's quoting there? When he says, Lord, they've not all believed our report? He's quoting Isaiah 53, verse 1. We just went all the way to the end of chapter 52. He said, well, why didn't you tell me that? I throw my pencil in there and I got to find it again. All right, go back to Isaiah and look at it. So he finishes, he says all that about what the Lord's going to do for Israel, how he's going to also allow salvation to be published to many nations. But then he says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He says in Isaiah 52:10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm. Well, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Do you know it was revealed to you? And you got saved? It's revealed to me and I got saved. He said, but they've not all believed the report. You know what the deal is then? Paul says, he says, in, when he gets to verse 17, he's been talking since the end of chapter 9 about faith. And he told us in the beginning of chapter 10, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. And he says, what you already know. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? That's faith. And he says in verse 17, where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the word of God. He's telling them, folks, I got to go preach the word of God. So these people can know how to receive Jesus Christ. What? If they don't hear, and if they don't believe, they don't get saved. So I've got to go. I've got to preach. I've got to tell them. As a matter of fact, he's telling them, you know, I want you to hear and believe. Now watch what he says in verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sounds went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. He's quoting another passage of Scripture. You know what he's quoting now? He's quoting Psalm 19. Psalm 19. So let's go to Psalm 19. How did their sound go out into all the world? Their sound went out into all the world by the testimony of creation. Psalm 19, look at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So the heavens are not constrained in their preaching by language barriers. If I were to go to China as a missionary, every person that was a Chinese-speaking Chinaman, and I would have a very hard time. The most I could do is give them a tract and a Bible because I don't have the first idea what to say. And I'm sure if I even tried to fake it now, I would probably be saying bad words from the pulpit. Wouldn't even try it. But the heavens that declare the glory of God to us and the heavens that utter their speech to us are not constrained by those language barriers. And what they see up there, we see up there, and those things testify of God. Verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth. That's what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 10. And their words to the end of the world, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Watch it, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Who does the sun picture? Based on what you just read there in verse 5. Who does the sun? Jesus Christ. If the sun pictures Jesus Christ, who does the moon picture? The church. All right, he says that son up there is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. The Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ returns in Malachi chapter 4, the Son of Righteousness comes with healing in his wings. And you know how the Son of Righteousness is spelled? It's spelled S-U-N, and it's a reference to Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ came, and what did he say? I am the light of the world. That's what that sun is. The church, on the other hand, is pictured by the moon, which doesn't generate its own light, but reflects the light of the sun. And when the church is in full face with the Lord Jesus Christ, like a full moon, it reflects his entire light. But like in an eclipse, when the world gets between the church and Jesus Christ, light goes out. And all those other typologies. Verse 6, his going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit under the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Go back with me to Romans chapter 1, where all this started concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look where it all started. In Romans chapter 1, Paul said in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What's he saying? The testimony of God is up there above your head. There's a fellow that's written a book, I suppose there's more than one, about the testimony of the constellations. When you read that, in all nations, there are, you know, those constellations up there, the Scorpius and Sagittarius and Leo and Taurus and all those guys up there. There are testimonies about what those mean. And much of those have to do with God and prophecy. The interesting thing is that God has spoken to the whole world about that through creation. And so now Paul and other missionaries go out with the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They see that testimony of God, hear the word of God, and they get saved. I asked a missionary one time, I said, when you go to a heathen country where Jesus Christ hasn't been preached, where do you start? I mean, how do you just show up and start preaching, you got to be saved? He said, no. He said, you know where we start? Genesis chapter 1. We teach them about creation. And then when they relate those two things or the things they've seen, then we teach them about Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting in this country that for the longest time we believed in creation, and then one day they said it's no longer right to be teaching this in school. All you can teach is evolution. And we're going tribal, where the other missionaries are trying to get the tribal people to go, that's a strange thing. That's a strange thing. So he says in verse 18, have they not heard? Yeah, they've heard. Their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the end of the world. That's the testimony of God. So they come behind that with the gospel so that people can put their faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. Isn't that interesting? All right, he says then in verse 19, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, so we're going to go and find out where Moses said this, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Now that's what he calls Gentiles, a foolish nation. And we are in the sense that we didn't have knowledge of God. But go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And again, like we've done with the other passages, let's read the entire context. All right, so the verse he quotes in Romans chapter 10, verse 19, is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. God is saying through Moses to Israel, and this is all Moses' song, by the way, Deuteronomy 32, 21. The Lord says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. That's they were using idolatry. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And he did. As soon as Paul turns to the Gentiles, they got so mad they were killing Paul. And God got so mad at them for going to idolatry, he was killing them. It's the same thing, see? It's what he's saying. Now, as with all these other passages, when Paul refers them to that, look at the context and see all of the things that are embedded in there that have to deal with the subject matter of Romans chapter 10. The subject matter of Romans chapter 10 is faith, righteousness by faith, right? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning with verse 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. So he's saying to Israel, you forgot me. I'm the rock that begat you. And hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. Now watch it. He said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation. Here it is. Children in whom is no faith. And that's the problem right there. They sought it by the works of the law. He said, your problem is you don't have any faith. Now, when God hides himself from them, if they have faith, they can see him. Do you know God? You've never seen him. But you have faith in him, and through that faith you know him. They have moved me to jealousy and so forth. Verse 21, look at verse 22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn of the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. All this comes up in the second advent. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend arrows upon them. And he keeps going all this horrible stuff that he's going to do to them. But then he says in verse 27, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. They're a nation void of counsel, a nation where there is not any understanding in them. Isn't that amazing? Terrible testimony. Now, when you read the New Testament, does the word faith show up from time to time? I mean, that's like just from all the way from Matthew to Revelation, there's just stuff going on about faith, right? How many times do you think the word faith shows up in the Old Testament? The word faith shows up in the Old Testament two times. Now, faithfulness, you'll see some of that. But the word faith, in the context of what we're talking about, two times. Once here, and once in Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by his faith. That's it. So when he quotes this verse of Scripture, he takes them right back to that passage. You know what he said in Romans chapter 1, verse 17? The just shall live by faith. You know what he said in Galatians chapter 3? Where he's talking about you trying to be saved by the deeds of the work of the law, he said, the just shall live by faith. And he's telling them, folks, the problem with you is you are children in whom is no faith. And if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to believe. And because they don't, God moves them to jealousy with those which are not a people. That's what you are. You're not a people. What are we? We're not a people. Well, that ought to be, we ought to know that. That Syrophoenician woman that came up to Jesus Christ trying to get her daughter healed, the Lord said, it's not meet to cast the children's bread unto dogs. You know what we are? We're dogs. That's okay. I've known some pretty nice dogs. That's okay. All right, back to Romans chapter 10. So do you see where we're going here? I mean, Paul... really, really, really led by the Spirit of God, nails it completely with Israel here about their problem and about our salvation. This is something that you receive by faith. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That was Romans 1:16. And then he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Now, look at Romans chapter 10 at verses 20 and 21. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. He's referring to Gentiles. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. What is a gainsaying people? Contradictory. Gainsaying people is contradictory people. They contradict. You say something, they contradict everything you say. You ever argue with somebody that was gainsaying? No matter how you said it, they always took the other side. Today you could say with them and say, you know what, this thing is black. And they say, no, it's not, it's white. Tomorrow you could say, you know this thing and this thing you were talking about yesterday, you could say this thing is white. I said, no, it's not, it's black. That's a gainsaying people. They're just contradictory. All right, where does he quote this from? He quotes this from Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Verse 20 is verse 1 of Isaiah 65. And verse 21 is verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 65. So let's go back there. Paul takes them back to the Scriptures. You understand when Paul's writing this, the New Testament is not Scripture yet. It's being penned as Scripture at that very moment. So he has to take them back to that which they have studied, and he puts them right in the middle of the place where the problem is. Isaiah chapter 65, look at verse 1. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. You know who that is? That's you. That's you. Praise the Lord for that, amen. Verse 2, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. That's Israel. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the mountains, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, watch what happens, this watch it, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know what the problem with Israel is? Unbelief, you know that. But what else, according to verse 5? Self-righteousness. I'm holier than thou. What, hey, was this not the problem that the Pharisees had with Jesus Christ? We be not born of fornication. We have Abraham for our father. What are you doing breaking the Sabbath? How come you eat with unwashing hands? We wash our hands. Everything on the outside is clean. Squeaky clean. How come you don't keep the tradition of the elders? You see that thing? That's, I am holier than thou. Kill him. He's a sinner. Even though Jesus Christ said, which of you convinceth me of sin? They couldn't. They are indeed a disobedient and gainsaying people, are rebellious people, but keep reading. Verse 6, behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but we recompense, even recompense into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blaspheme me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. He said they blaspheme me upon the hills. And you know what they said about Jesus Christ when he did miracles by the Holy Spirit? He did those by Beelzebub, and you know what he said? They're blaspheming the Holy Ghost of God. Now, watch verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them, what's the next word? All. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a valley, a fold for flocks, and the valley of Achor, a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. So the promise at the end of Isaiah chapter 65 in verses 8 through 10 is that God is going to bring forth a seed out of Jacob. He's going to save some of them. I will not destroy them all. Go back to Romans. Remember I said that chapter 10 is a transition chapter between the end of 9 and 11? And we started this lesson today by reading Romans chapter 9, verses 30 to 33. All right, look at verses 27, 28, and 29 of Romans chapter 9. Isaiah, that's Isaiah, Romans 9, 27. Also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, how many of them will be saved? A remnant. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. That has to do with the end of the tribulation. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed. And that's what he said in Isaiah 65. Seed of Jacob. We had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. So he says, he's not going to destroy them all. He's going to save some of them, and he's going to start out Romans chapter 11 by dealing with some that have gotten saved in the church age and deal with the fact that God's still going to save Israel in spite of the fact that they're rebellious. And we'll look at all that next week. So he's opened the gospel to the Gentiles. When Israel refused to believe, next time, if we get all that done, at least in the next two Sundays, we'll see in Romans chapter 11 how, when, and why the Lord will save Israel in spite of their current unbelief. The conclusion is he's not through with Israel in spite of the fact that he opened the gospel to Gentiles. And I'm glad for both of those things. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to study your words. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us to be faithful, to remember these words and be equipped so that at times when others need help in the Scripture, we may be able, by your wisdom, by your counsel, to show them what these words say, for Jesus' sake. Amen.